All right, let's open our book of Acts. We're in Acts chapter 2. Questions at vatbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or email. Glad to hear from you. We have a new lady, Jennifer, from South Jersey. She heard about us and she may be coming Sunday. She's not sure about it. And I said to call in on Thursday night, tonight. And we'll give her the number, 856-261-9018, and she can call another. Acts chapter 2, let's begin in verses 27, 28, 29. We stopped at 27 last time. Let's begin reading together, verse 27, 28, 29. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me know the full joy of thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. And verse 27, I will not leave my soul in hell. Who wrote that? Where is that taken from?
The
Psalm. The Psalm. That's how David wrote that. Who is the reference, as we see later? The Lord Jesus Christ. How does the word hell? The Old Testament Hebrew, what is the Hebrew word that's translated that? What's that Hebrew word?
Sheol.
In the New Testament, what's the word translated that? Hades. So these are two. A place of departed spirits. How many divisions were there in Sheol and Hades?
Two.
What were the two divisions?
Paradise.
Paradise, so there's blessed, and those who were saved. And the other division? That would be the division of the damned, the spirits of unsaved, unbelievers. Now, what is the reference here? What does the Apostles' Creed say about hell and the Lord Jesus Christ? Sent into hell. And people not knowing what that means, some of them think, including Harold Camping, thinks he went to the fires of hell. What does that Apostles' Creed mean when it says hell? Or he?
Paradise.
Paradise section. To let captivity captivity just for the men. So, we do not believe these things. A lot of people teach this, that he went to hell, in the sense of the fires of hell. But we believe he went to the paradise section and led those who were the blessed dead up to heaven and to paradise. And now, not so late, but so, see that Holy One corruption. What does it mean by corruption? Come on.
I have a question about hell. I thought there were two words for hell. In the Bible, I thought one was Hades and one was
Gehenna. Yeah, that's true. Gehenna is definitely the fires of hell. That's the final place. Hades is the temporary place, you might say. Those that die right now, before the Gehenna, the lake of fire, they go through the suffering part of hell. Remember in Luke 16, what does it tell about the place of departed spirits in Luke 16.
Is that with the rich man
and Rich man and Lazarus.
Oh,
rich man went where?
To the torment.
And what was there? What was true of that place?
Fire.
And he said, pray that I do what? Send somebody to tell my brothers. And the other man went to paradise, Lazarus. So you see, it's true. Even before Gehenna, which is the final lake of fire, the Hades, the temporary hell, the expressed hell in the King James Bible, that's still fire, it's judgment until that final place. Why was hell prepared?
The
devil and his angels. Not for people, but for the devil and his angels. And so it's interesting to see all these things. And so, again, corruption means what? Thou shalt not leave that soul of corruption. What's that mean? I ask for the help. What does it mean?
Decay.
Now, David wrote this, and then later on we see, men and brethren, in verse 28, God's made me to know the ways of life. God shall make me full of joy for thy countenance. Where is the source of joy in this world?
Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ himself. And if we're led and controlled by God and the Holy Spirit, what is one of the fruits of the Spirit?
Joy.
Joy, love, joy, peace, comfort, all these things. Is this the same as happiness?
No.
What's the difference?
Joy's on the inside.
George
insight. Happiness on the outside.
After the things that happen are happiness, but joy, as we've said many times before, the Navy chaplain 5 years active duty, every Friday night they have happy hour. That's what they call it. Drink. But that's not joy. It's outside, and someone gets so drunk they don't even know how to see straight. One of them was a captain. He was a pilot on the Marine Corps Air Station in Corpus Christi, Texas. And he didn't know that was overseas, in Okinawa. He was so drunk that one night, he came to me as a chaplain. He said, "Chaplain, what is all this thing about salvation?" He was interested in salvation because he was drunk. And when he was playing, he didn't even care about it. But came to me and wondered about eternal life. So anyway, but happiness and joy, one is internal, one is external. We've got to have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, as it says many times in Scripture. And so God's made me to know that full joy, what's the difference between joy and full joy?
Well, it's your cup running over.
Cup running over. What about kill joy? Who's that?
Satan.
He doesn't want anybody to have joy. And the cup runs over. Remember, the Apostle John, one of his epistles, I write it that your joy may be full. Fullness of joy. Not simply a little tiny bit, but fullness of joy. Help keep us safe in the arms of Jesus. With thy countenance. What does countenance mean? Hey, Anna, excuse me.
This is a point of interest. This is quoting from Psalm 16. Verses 8 to 11.
Okay, want to read that for us?
I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
Amen. That's a good verse. Then in verse 29, men and brethren, who's speaking here, by the way? Who is it?
Paul.
Is it Paul?
Here is
quoting
David.
Who's right?
David.
What verse says it's Peter?
14.
Verse 14, okay. Is it 14?
Yeah.
All right, Peter's saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So Peter's one that's speaking there. He said, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak of you." What does that mean? What does that refer to? Freely speak. What would be the opposite of freely speaking?
Constraint.
Constraint. He wants to be open and above board. He's going to interpret that for you. Dan's got something. Go ahead, Dan.
Dear Pastor Wade, hello there, everyone this evening. Thank you. Tonight's Bible study from Joe and Norma Foster.
From California. That's Wade to Joe and Norma, way over California. Thank you for writing. Joe and Norma in California. Okay. Now, men and brethren, freely speak, the patriarch, what does patriarch mean? Anna?
Sorry, I misunderstood which camera I was supposed to wave at.
Oh, okay. The Lord will forgive you for that. But next time, get it straight from you. What does this mean as far as the patriarch? What does it mean? Yeah, Dan, go ahead.
I mean, these are the patriarchs, or Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Okay.
Here, David is also concluding, because it's kind of part of the lineage, the
right.
Important lineage, particularly David, is in the line of Christ. He's
right.
In the lineage of Christ.
And
father, a patriarch.
And two Greek words, doesn't it? Pater, which is father, and archi, which is ruler. Where the fathers ruled in the early days. In Genesis, for instance, those were patriarchs. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David was also called a patriarch. But he, now notice, what is true of David? What does Peter say David is true of David here?
He's dead.
Dead and buried. In fact, what else? He's got a sepulcher. So you can see it unto this day. So, what does that mean when it says, "Thou wilt not leave my soul"? Does that refer to the soul of David? In hell? The Lord Jesus Christ. It's a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not leave his soul in hell. Must not see corruption. Did the Lord Jesus see corruption?
No.
How long was he in the tomb?
3 days.
3 days and three nights. Does that mean the Lord was just 3 days, but not three nights? Did he die on Friday? You got Good Friday service and Sunday?
No.
Has to be 72 hours. We believe the scripture, but so he's in the tomb 3 days and three nights. Now, normally,
In those days, did they embalm? Did the Jews embalm? No, they don't embalm today. The Orthodox, they just bury them the same day, the next day. So, for 3 days, normally, what would happen to the body?
Corruption
would take them. Did it happen to our Jesus Christ? No. And so, there was no corruption. Why was there no corruption in Lord Jesus? But what's the difference in his body and our body?
Your blood.
No blood. Different. It was not Adam's blood. Not Adam's sin. And that's why through the power of the miracle of the virgin birth, the bloodline, doctors have told us, comes through the woman, not from the man. So it had no Adam's blood. It was pure, sanctified, holy gift.
Amen.
Amen. So it was right straight down the line.
Yes.
So no corruption. And it was a miracle. And so he saw no corruption.
Amen.
And several other days. So then let's read verse 27, 28. Let's read 30, 31, and 32 together. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that at the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing that his close think of the resurrection of Christ, and his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh to speak corruption. This Jesus that God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. All right, in verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet, what is a prophet?